From their ambassador partnership with Denver Health to increase the participation in the African-American community to fight COVID-19, to their innovative health information outreach program, Black Barbershop Salon Health, that takes health information to the people where they are, the Colorado Black Health Collaborative for over a decade has been instrumental in closing the health disparities gap in Colorado's African-American community. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. Adding to their active, healthy approach, the CBHC has also been taking on the issue of menthol in tobacco in Black communities as a social justice issue. And their work will be growing new directions with the addition of a new executive director. On this edition, we continue our briefing on the work of the CBHC with Executive Director Dr. Shikari Lee.
I think all underserved minority populations are in need of some refinement and advocacy. There is a lack of focus on these communities, and it's pertinent that the healthcare industry provides the adequate, you know, health equity and resources to ensure that these populations and communities can thrive.
Another initiative you all had, CBHC had, was regarding tobacco in the African-American community. I was one that's walking around here thinking, well, a lot of that people already know. It's a past issue that's been handled, but apparently not, especially when it comes to, I guess, youth and tobacco. Now, are you still going to be continuing to work on that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Our tobacco menthol program has been active for several years now. So, we recently were trying to put a flavor ban, and also there's other areas that are doing that as well and trying to bring that bill forward. Mm-hmm. However, the topic is difficult to address because you do have your older generation who has been using the product for decades, and then you have the youth generation who has been introduced to it at a younger age.
Yeah.
So we still have to provide the education on it because new data is being released constantly showing some of the new impacts that tobacco can have on the health of an individual. Also, statistically, we're seeing the rise in African-American use of tobacco-related products.
You said tobacco-related. That also includes vaping, then, I would take it?
Absolutely. It is a issue. However, it is a secondary subject, I will say. You know, you have tobacco, and then you have vaping, and then you have chewing and things like that. So, there's those subsidiary topics.
African Americans, are we still at higher risk for heart disease, stroke, cancers, asthma, and that kind of thing? And what can be done, or what do you think needs to be done specifically to maybe reduce those? Do we have to give or do individual outreach for each area, or just continue to put an emphasis on health so that African Americans can do a better job of managing themselves so that our risk of heart disease and stroke and cancers can be reduced?
Absolutely. Our numbers are drastically high, especially in specific cancers related to the African American culture. And so we have to provide dedication to these topics. Just like we have to provide dedication to focusing on the Black or African American community, we have to put that emphasis and say, we are going to look at the Black population specifically, look at these health concerns, and address the disparities and barriers.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of research underway, a lot of great things, great movement. However, it moves at different rates.
Moves at different
rates. Per state, per area. And so when it comes to Colorado, we have to put individual emphasis upon each of these topics.
Mm-hmm. I know it's harder for us here to be under the influence of another city, a larger city that has minority populations, because the closest one, I think, is Kansas City, and that's, what, 700 miles away. So we really have to put an added emphasis on everything, because we're not going to receive any outside influences that are going to help us do exactly that. So it's going to take some work with everybody to get that done.
Absolutely. You know, everybody is a part of the equation.
Uh-huh.
We can even look at external programs or agencies outside of Colorado and see if we're able to mimic some of the implementation plans, mm-hmm, or programs or initiatives that they've started. And so when we look at another overly populated African-American city or state, we are going to see some of the things that worked or didn't work. We can also look at how they've been tackling barriers and social determinants of health,
uh-huh,
and utilize that data and build off of it and adapt it to the needs of Colorado.
You're saying adapted to the needs of Colorado. So are regions in America that different that some things work in some places and not in the others, even though you're doing the exact same thing, but the population groups are so contrasting, you may not get the same result, and so you got to tweak it?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at Colorado in general, this is a very wealthy state.
Yeah.
In comparison, if you go down south and look at those areas. So there is definitely a difference in some of the barriers that the Black or African American community face.
Mm-hmm.
There's still an underlying social determinants of health. However, things can be exacerbated in certain specific regions.
COVID-19, they're saying it's another variant that's going to be impacting us this future forward winter in some way. Nobody knows yet. So we have to keep up the information, keep encouraging African-American communities to go get booster shots. We can't turn that loose yet. Everybody thinks that because people are not wearing masks anymore that everything is okay, but it's probably not okay, and those that haven't been vaccinated still need to do so.
Absolutely. I mean, as is, we're right around, you know, flu season is active. We're seeing respiratory conditions,
yeah,
increase. COVID isn't going away, and we still have to focus on this. Even though it's becoming a new norm, we are going to have to constantly, as a population, adjust to new variants,
mm-hmm,
you know, potential increase of cases, things of that sort. So even though there's not emphasis placed on it heavily at this point, CBHC is still doing their part in providing advocacy for boosters, injections, providing test kits for families, hand sanitizer, masks, things of that sort, appropriate PPE.
Yeah, so we still need to do it because it may be endemic at some point. Perhaps, I mean, we still have a few other things that are around that we have to continue to get shots for. So
absolutely,
people need to get their heads around that COVID-19 ain't going anywhere anytime soon, and it can still hurt you if you're not prepared for it. One of the things you mentioned earlier in our conversation was about mental health. Now,
mm-hmm,
I know in a lot of African-American communities, nobody wants to really admit that they may be seeing a counselor or anything like it, because one of the cultural things is if people find out you're seeing a counselor, everybody thinks you're crazy, and nobody doesn't want to be known as being crazy. So we have to work through that to get people some of the mental health support that they need.
Absolutely. You know, like I've said before, there's stigmas out there. However, statistically, we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah.
According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, Studies show that 2 out of 9 African Americans or Black have a mental illness, with 7.8% of females experiencing a major depressive episode with severe impact. In comparison to males, which had a rate of 4.3%. So not are we only not focusing on mental health, we are not also not putting emphasis on our Black maternal mothers.
Are African Americans a little more tense on a day-to-day basis after incidents like the shootings in Buffalo, New York, those types of things, when they're looking over their shoulders every day when they're going to the food store? I know you mentioned earlier that communities are different, but perhaps what happens in one gets copycatted someplace else, and so everybody's looking over their shoulders to make sure it doesn't happen to them.
It's not even just that. We have to go back to the bottom. Low economic status, history of parents with low education or employment attainment, residing in chaotic home environments, history of child abuse, limited social support networks, exacerbated stressors. Those are all things that contribute to mental health illnesses. And because of the barriers and the social determinants of health that exist in poverty, underrepresented Black African American communities, we are already predisposed to symptoms that are existent in mental health illnesses.
Do African American youth and youth of color probably have more mental health pressures upon them that they than they want to admit to, with social media and friends being different, and not to mention the other things that their parents may be saying? Or are youth really about to be, I guess the best way to put it, mental health basket cases unless we do something about it?
I think it's for anybody in general. These last 3 years have impacted our livelihood, our mental health at a severe rate. Individuals who might thought they didn't have any mental health concerns are starting to realize that they have underlying problems. With the youth, there has been an immense increase in social deterrences to where they're not having that emotional support from person to person. You know, they're resorting to Facebook and social media to seek, self-worth and acceptance and things of that sort. And so there's the issue of being able to deal with real life circumstances outside of the internet and social media.
Yeah, I'm just probably happy that I don't have to worry about going to high school these days.
Right.
From what we had, and just trying to get there and make sure that I get home okay. What's the leading thing you're going to start to kick off? The CBHC is going to be looking at doing to kick off 2023?
Maternal health and youth.
Taking care of the youth again, and maternal health, because, yeah, people are still having babies. That's
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, according to the American Pregnancy Association, 14 to 23% of women struggle with depression. And only 2% are engaged in support groups, and 8% are engaged in counseling in Colorado. The mental health also creates a negative impact. Colorado has the highest low birth weight for infants across all the states. In African American Black mothers, we have the highest rate of low infancy birth weight.
Many thanks to Dr. Shikari Lee, the Executive Director of the Colorado Black Health Collaborative, for being our guest again on this edition. For additional information on their work and activities, go online to coloradoblackhealth.org. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch. Grab your COVID booster shot for additional safety and protection and a flu shot as well. And we do appreciate you for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.